Appreciate the prayer that's been offered and ask your continued interest in your prayers this morning. If you'd like to turn with us, you'll find our text to be found in Psalm 68, Psalm 68, verse 4. Psalm 68, verse 4. While you're turning to that, I have a question for you. Maybe you can do two things at once. What causes you to rejoice? What is it that causes you to rejoice? Well, if you can figure that out, then you'll find out where your heart is. And, you know, I mentioned the fact that, just briefly during our prayer requests, I mentioned the fact that we're small and getting smaller. And it's a dilemma that when I get together with other preachers, it seems like it's epidemic among God's people. And so what that causes me to think is, well, okay, when people come among us and visit us, what do they feel when they come? Do they hear praises to the Lord in our singing? Do they feel the love of God in their hearts? You know, how much praise we give him while we're here and how much praise we give him when we leave this place says a whole lot about how much praise he's going to get the next time we come. We need to, like we've been saying here lately, we need to bring him with us. We need to prepare our hearts and prepare our minds to praise God when we get together as a body of believers. And then when we leave this place, then our footsteps need to reflect that everywhere we go. And so when we think about praising in our life, what is it? You know, we know some folks that they can do a lot of praising for some things. So how is it with us? You know, it's easy to look at other folks and speak about those things, but we need to turn that around and consider our own heart, don't we? Okay. Psalm 68. I hope you found it by now. Let me just read verse 4. Sing unto God. Now, let me give you a little background here in context. Commentators seem to be agreed that this must have been written in a time when the ark was being brought back to Israel. And so that's kind of the context here, that the ark was a symbol of the presence of God among his people. But there was times when they put too much trust in the ark instead of God. And so, you know, there was a time when Israel went out to battle and they were smitten. And so they said, well, let us fetch the ark. And it will save us. Well, I'm sorry, but the ark couldn't save anybody. Only the Lord could save. And when their confidence was in the Lord, then they had victory in their battles. And it's the same with us today. Bless your hearts. We need to be looking to the Lord and trusting him for all that we stand in need of. Okay? All right, so Psalm 68. Verse 4, sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name Jah, and rejoice before him. Here God's people were being exhorted to praise God, but not just sing praises, but praise unto God. When we sing, and I enjoy our singing that we have here, we're blessed with good acoustics in the building and blessed with good brethren and good singers. And I enjoy the singing that we have here. But bless your hearts, I enjoy it more when I feel like it's being praised to God. You know, we can enjoy singing among ourselves, but it needs to be praise unto God. And I believe we are. I believe we're praising him in our singing. But we need to sometimes be reminded of that, don't we? All right? So he says, sing unto God. Well, that begs a question. Why? Why should we sing unto God? Well, every born-again child of God ought to have an answer for that. Why should we be praising God? There's people in this world that praise other things. There's people in this world that trust in their intellect or their government or whatever, you know, lots of things that people trust in besides God. But if we're blessed to know Him, the only true and living God, and Jesus Christ, His Son, then John 17 tells us this is life eternal. That they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Do you know Him this morning? I believe I'm standing before a people that knows Him. Oh, but bless your hearts. If we know Him, and if we know that He is the true and living God, oh, then bless your hearts, we have an abundance of reasons to praise Him. Just think of the natural creation that He's made for us to enjoy. Appreciate Brother Jim's prayer and how he mentioned some of those things. Excuse me. But we have plenty of reasons to sing praises unto God. You know, we sang that song, Count Your Blessings. Have you done that lately? I hope we do that on a regular basis. Count your blessings. See what God has done for us. It'll help us to be more in a mind to praise Him. He's the eternal God. You know, He's the one true and living God, but He's eternal. You know, Jehovah, His name, means self-existent and eternal. Some people define it a little differently, but that's what I find in the definition. He's self-existent and He's eternal. He always has been, always will be. I can't fathom that, and you can't either. But we can appreciate it, can't we? We can rejoice in it, the fact that He's always been, always will be. Not only is God the Father, has He always been and always will be, but His Son, the Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And in the Gospel of John, as it begins, he says, in the beginning was the Word. And that, you know, that word has a capital W, don't it? All right? So what it means is it's a representation of the Son of God, the Word of God, the Son of God. Now, the Word eventually was made flesh and dwelt among us. But before that, He's the Word of God. So He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. That kind of sounds repetitious, doesn't it? But it speaks of how that Christ, the Word, was with Him in the beginning. And He says all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Oh, as we think about it, when you go back and read in the early part of Genesis, when it says, let us make man in our own image, there you have the Father, you have the Word, and you have the Holy Spirit. The Trinity there, Elohim, the plural of majesty. All right, so in the beginning. So when we think about sing unto God, there's reasons for us to sing unto Him. Bless your hearts, He's eternal. Also, not only is He eternal, He's infinite. You know, there's no limits to God. That's why you can't put God in a box. That's why we can't fathom not only the length of His life being eternal, but He's infinite in all of His abilities. Oh, think about that for a moment. You know, I seem like not too long ago we talked about, maybe it was on a Wednesday night, we talked about how the graven images, you know, people would, in the past, have cut down trees and carved an image, or maybe they fashioned something out of stone or a metal, melting a metal and fashioning something like Aaron did with that golden calf. But why would anybody bow down to something that they made with their own hands? It's beyond me to understand how somebody could think that something that they made with their own hands, they could bow down and there's some benefit that they might receive from worshiping that. Oh, but bless your hearts, our God is in the heavens. Psalm 115 verse 3, our God is in the heavens and He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. Psalm 8 says his glory is above the heavens. That's our God. There's reason for us to sing unto our God. Not only is he eternal, not only is he infinite, and we can't even grasp just what that means, all right? Not only is he that, but he's just beyond our ability to understand. It's beyond my ability to understand how God would have mercy on somebody like me. But I feel like he has. And that's my reason to rejoice in him. That he's had mercy upon us. He's had mercy upon you. Now I can see some reasons why he'd have mercy on you. I can see some reasons why he would love you. I can see some reasons why he would bless you. But I know me better than I know you. And it's just beyond me that God would be so good and so merciful and so kind and gracious and long-suffering. Don't you appreciate? Haven't you in your life, the more experiences you've gone through, haven't you grown to appreciate more and more the long-suffering of our God? Oh, I tell you, it's amazing. In New Testament language, let's see, it's Romans 11, I believe it is. I want to read it because I may not get it right. Romans 11, listen to verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Now, that doesn't mean we can't understand some things about God, but we cannot ever grasp the limits. He's glorious. And he's beyond anything that we can frame in words. All right? For he says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Oh, I tell you, sometimes I hear men speaking as if they want to tell God what to do. They question God as to why in the world he would do something the way he did. They need to read what the scripture says, don't they? Hath not the potter power over the clay? You know, why should the thing formed say unto him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Shall the potter, or doth not the potter have power over the clay to make one lump unto honor and one unto dishonor? If you remember that, Paul used that as he's speaking there in Romans chapter 9 about the election of God's people to glory. And men so oftentimes will look at that or hear you speak about the doctrine of election, they'll complain that God ought to give everybody a chance. Well, bless your hearts, man by nature wouldn't seek God. Man by nature wouldn't try to do anything to reconcile himself to God. We can be thankful unto God that he had mercy upon our souls and he chose a people for his glory, to place his glory upon us. Oh, we think about how wonderful. Sing unto God. The more we speak about these glorious things, the more it should cause our heart to want to rejoice in our God. You know, we gather knowledge, and knowledge is good. And we could have the knowledge of the 23rd Psalm to where we could quote it perfectly, where we could know every word in its order and be able to repeat it perfectly. But the glory of the 23rd Psalm is knowing the shepherd. To knowing the God who is our shepherd, who is eternal, who is limitless, infinite, beyond our ability to figure out. Oh, I tell you, there's plenty of reason for us to sing praises unto God. Let's notice a couple of, I may read a little bit more than I normally do, but I want to go to Isaiah 40 and read a few verses there. Isaiah 40, the whole chapter is wonderful, but let me just begin in verse 12. Isaiah 40, verse 12. Now, what we're talking about is reasons to sing unto God. All right? And it's just good for us to be reminded. And I can't say it any better than the scripture does, so I'm going to read you some of it. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? There's a lot of water in this world. You know, if you ever flown over the ocean, you got a better appreciation of how much water there is. But who has measured the water in the hollow of his hand? Our God can, because he's that big. All right? He says, and meted out the heaven with the span. How big is heaven? Well, I don't know. We don't even have telescopes that will show us the heaven, where the heavenly bodies are. We can't even measure that, and yet God has meted it out, okay, with the span. And comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure. Have you ever been able to do that? Can you measure the dust of the earth? Now it says he comprehended it. He can tell you how many particles is there. You know, this language is just so wonderful to show us just how great God. It's an effort, and it's the being the Word of God, it's the best description we have of the greatness of our God. All right? We don't even know where all the dust is, but he comprehends it, all right, in a measure. And weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Let me just keep reading. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? You know, by faith we understand these truths are glorious as it speaks of our God. With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the paths of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding? Can anybody do that? No, we know that, don't we? And man by nature doesn't know that. Man by nature would question that. Man by nature would think that this Word of God is just out of date, needs to be updated, changed, needs to be brought down to our level. Oh, but bless your hearts. Well, we understand our God, and by faith we can embrace these things and how wonderful it is. Behold, verse 15, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. Wow. And are counted as the small dust of the balance. You know, I understand that when folks used to use those scales, we have electronics nowadays, but when they had those scales and those very small weights, you know, they would dust off the balance before they weighed things. You might think, well, that's foolish. Well, it's just showing that, you know, you want an accurate measurement. Oh, but God, oh, look what he can do. He counts all the nations as a drop in the bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Not too impressed with us. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very small little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. Oh, our God is so great. How wonderful, how glorious he is. You know, I'm sure you've read that passage. Maybe it's been a while since you've read it, but every time I read it, it stretches my mind as to the greatness and the glory of God. He can't be any greater. He can't be any glorious, any more glorious, but bless your hearts, in our mind and with our understanding and in our remembrance, we can work on stretching our mind and our remembrance so that we remember some of the things that we're told in the Word of God as to how great and how glorious he is. And that's a good exercise. That's one of the benefits of reading the Word of God on a regular basis, so that we can be reminded of these things and give glory to his matchless name. All right? Also, let's see, Job had some things to say about this, didn't he? Job 38, the whole chapter again is wonderful, but let me just, Job 38, let's just begin in the interest of time, just verse 4. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you? You weren't there, were you? Except, that's right, in the mind and purpose of God. Because not only is he eternal, but before the foundation of the world, he chose out a people in Christ to save them from their sins. Isn't that glorious? Isn't that a reason to praise God? That even before he did all of these glorious things, he chose out a people. There again, there's that doctrine of election. Some people don't care for it. Oh, but we rejoice in it, don't we? All right? Where wast thou? He's speaking to Job. The Lord said to them, when I laid the foundations of the earth, declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? You know, isn't it fascinating that this world can just spin in what seems to be nothing? You know, and the planets in their revolution around the sun. And it's just amazing, isn't it? When you think about these glorious things, how that God made these things and set them in motion, and they continue in their perfect order. Oh, how wonderful. How great does God have to be in order to do that? Think about it. It's good for us to think about that. When the morning stars, let's see, did I finish that? The foundations thereof, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, or who shut up the sea with doors when it broke forth as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof and thick darkness as swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no farther, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Oh, we could keep reading. The whole chapter is wonderful. But bless your hearts, that stirs our mind to remember the power that God had manifested and the power that we can see in what has been created, that surely God had to be tremendously powerful and beyond anything that we can imagine. Surely we can praise him for that, can't we? That's reason to sing unto God. Okay? Sing unto God. All right? We quoted from John, how he created all things. Without him was not anything made that was made. That covers it. He's done that. And not only that, but he made man in his own image. Isn't that amazing? He made man in his own image. He made a perfect man. But long after that, man sinned. And death entered into the world, didn't it? All as we think about, he's the giver of life. You know, if you keep reading there in John chapter 1, down at verse 4, in him is life, and the life was the light of men. Without that life. Now, without natural life, we can't enjoy the natural creation. And without spiritual life, we cannot see or enjoy the spiritual creation. For if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Bless your hearts, when he gives us natural life, there's so much of this world that we can enjoy. But bless your hearts, when he gives us spiritual life, we see the spiritual kingdom. We see, we can then rejoice in that this natural creation was created by God himself, and it was created for his glory, for our enjoyment, and for us to praise him for it. So as we think about the natural creation and also life that he's given to us. So he says, sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Could anybody else do what God has done? Would anybody else be as merciful? You know, there's in all the things that we've talked about, of how we should sing to God. Bless your hearts, there are reasons why we should sing praises to his name. So we thank God that he's blessed us to know him and to know what he's done for us. Bless your hearts, beyond the fact that he's worthy, that we should praise him for all this natural creation. Bless your hearts, as we've already touched on earlier, man sinned. Adam sinned, plunged all of his posterity in sin. And we died in trespasses. We were separated from our God. Bless your hearts, before he laid the foundations of the earth, he purposed to send his Son to this world to save us. And so beyond the greatness of his power, beyond the fact that he's infinite in wisdom and knowledge, bless your hearts, he's also his love that he set upon a people that would someday be born into this world, born then of his Spirit. Bless your heart, a people that not only would praise him for the natural creation, but for the salvation that we have through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, the more we think about this, and the more we understand how far-reaching the implications are as to why we should be praising him, that we've got enough to praise him every day. Every day we live, no matter how long we live, we can praise his holy name. Sing praises to his name. But not only this salvation that we just touched on, not only has he saved us from our sins. Remember in Isaiah 40, he said, comfort ye my people, saith your God, crying to them that her warfare is accomplished, that she hath received double for all her sins. Not only has he saved us from our sins, he saved us to something. We have an inheritance. Not only can we enjoy this life, but bless your heart, there's a life to come. And Brother Charles is enjoying that right now. Sister Gwen is enjoying that right now. And all the other loved ones that you, some of you here that have been here a long time, that you know and remember, and you remember those precious brethren and sisters, bless your hearts, they're enjoying being in the presence of God right now. It's not a matter of they just passed the scene of this life and they're no more. Bless your hearts, the body may be laid in the grave, but bless your heart, their soul and spirits is with the Lord. Just as Jesus said to that thief by his side, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Wherever the Lord is, that's paradise. Bless your heart, they're with him. And so we can rejoice that someday, if our hope is that Jesus died for our sins, that our hope is that someday we'll be with them in glory. So not only has he saved us from our sins, we've received double for all our sins. He saved us from hell and eternal separation from God, which is the penalty of our sins. But bless your hearts, he saved us to heaven. Heaven's pure world. Will there never be any sickness or sorrow or crying or even disappointment? It's beyond what we can imagine, isn't it? But it's ours. The fullness of it, whatever, even beyond what we can imagine, it's still ours. We've been made heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Which joint tenancy, in legal terms, means that it's all ours. All that belongs to him is ours. It's not divided up into 1,500 billion people that's going to be, whatever the number is, that's going to be in heaven's pure world. It's not divided, it's all ours. All to be enjoyed. Isn't that glorious? We can sing his praises for that, can't we? Sing praises to his name. Now, our heart ought to be singing whether it's coming out of our mouth or not. But, you know, there's some folks when they get happy about it, it's going to come out. Isn't that right, Sister Nancy? And some of you others. Bless your hearts, when we're happy in the Lord, it just shows. And it needs to show. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Oh, we need to be singing his praise and giving him thanks for all that he's done for us. Talking about that inheritance, Ephesians 1:11, the language of the New Testament. Here we're in the Psalm, but if you go to the New Testament, Ephesians 1:11, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. It was his will, not the sinner's will. Oh, bless your hearts. We need to make that distinction, don't we? Because that's what gives glory to God. It's according to his will. And if you know what that verse that comes after that, verse 12, Ephesians 1, verse 12, that we should be to his praise. That we should be to his praise. That's why he did it. Now, not that we should just be to his praise in heaven. Oh, we'll be able to praise him like we should in heaven. We'll have the heart that we need that would praise him like he should be praised in heaven. And we'll be made immortal so that we could sing his praises forever. And that's the kind of praise that he should receive in heaven. But bless your hearts, he's given us the blessing now. We can sing praises to his name now. We can give glory to his name now. We can let our light shine now. Bless your hearts, that's what gives glory to him. Let your light so shine before men, not just at church, but let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Don't worry about getting a pat on the back. Just do what's right, do what's good, do it for the glory of God. And it's amazing how much God blesses when you don't care who gets the glory. If you care who gets the glory, if you get the glory, you've got your blessing. All right? So when we think about all that he's done for us, not only what he's given us, what we have to look forward to, what he's delivered us from, what he's delivered us to, all those kinds of things. If we keep those things in memory, it saves us from getting caught up too much in the things of this world. Now, isn't that sort of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15? Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you receive, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. There's a salvation in remembering these things that God has given to us and what he has done for us and what we hope to have. Not a salvation to heaven, but a salvation from ignorance and from things in this world that would cause us to go astray. But bless your hearts, we need to be saved from getting caught up too much in the things of this world, so that we can let our light shine, so that we can praise him like we should. Give him the praise and honor and glory that's due his matchless name. If we remember those things, it'll cause us to want to give him praise. And that's the way we should be every day. Not only do we have this blessing, this blessed promise of an inheritance, but there's one more thing that we need to add to that. And I'm sure there's others, but one more that I'll add to it is that we're being kept for it. Now what Peter said, 1 Peter chapter 1, he said, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Peter said, we're kept for it. Now, if you said, I'll keep you for it, I'd have to wonder about whether or not it's going to get done. But God has said he's doing it. Who are kept by the power of God. That power is limitless. That power can do all that's his will to do. And he's told us that we're kept by his power. Then when you go to the book of Jude, we're preserved, sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Christ Jesus, and called. So not only are we sanctified by God the Father and by what Christ has done for us, we're preserved in that. And they were called by the Holy Spirit that lets us know about it while we live here. Why? So we can give him praise for it. Every day, we need to be praising his holy name. Because, bless your hearts, we're kept, we're being preserved, and someday we will be with him in glory. We'll be together forever. Oh, as we think about, there's plenty of reasons to give praise unto our God. So he said, sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol, that's to give high praise, him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah. Well, what's that? Well, that's a contraction, a shortened form of the name Jehovah, the self-existent and eternal one. Okay? So he says, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name Jah, and rejoice before him. Oh, as we think about our God and all that he's able to do, and all that he's committed to continue to do for us because we're being preserved in Christ Jesus. When we think about his almighty power, you know, power in the hands of fallen man, we'd be afraid of that, wouldn't we? Not with God. Because he's holy. He's good. He's righteous. He's loving and merciful and long-suffering. Oh, when we think about, you know, and I'm just scratching the surface, but just think about all that God is and how wonderful that when we are able to remember the greatness and the goodness and the love of our God, that he's watching over us and keeping us, that nothing is beyond his control. And I'm thankful for that. I know you are. Bless your hearts. When we think, we see so many things in this world that we wish were different. When we see so many things in this world that we feel like that, you know, it gives us the impression sometimes that things are out of control. But, oh, it's just sanity to remember. Our God's in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. He's in control. He's able to do his will in the army of heaven. Nebuchadnezzar found that out, didn't he? In the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of men, and none can stay his hand. I'll say unto him, what doest thou? And so the last phrase there, it says, and rejoice before him. Now I began this message by asking you, what causes your heart to rejoice? It ought to be in God. Because when we're rejoicing in the Lord, you know, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. When you go back and rehearse the verses ahead of that and review that and see what he's been talking about, then you see that when we seek the Lord first and his righteousness, don't leave that part out. You know, some folks look at that and they quote it, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. Well, that's true, but you left something out. His righteousness. Not our righteousness. They're like filthy rags, aren't they? According to what Isaiah said, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is, he's our God. This glorious God that we've been speaking of, who is limitless, who is infinite, who is eternal. Bless your hearts. He's given us his word. He's shown us his will. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So he's given us a way to follow him, a way to serve him, a way to enjoy the life that we have now in a way that would bring glory and honor to his matchless name. And so as we begin to examine ourselves, and that's the wonderful blessing, you know, what would you do? Just think for a moment. What would you do if God hadn't given us his word? Well, we'd have a lot of darkness in this world, wouldn't we? We'd have a lot of questions and doubts and fears. We have enough of them as it is. But the more we apply ourselves to reading the word of God, the more we are exercised in what he tells us that we should be doing, and the more we understand his will for us in this life, the things that we need to, you know, the word teaches us what God hates. And as we are reminded or learn the things that God hates, then we understand if he hates it, then if we want to please him, then we have to hate that as well. And it teaches us what he loves. And when we learn that or are reminded of what he loves, then we realize that, okay, if God loves that, then we love that too. And listen, you have the leadership of the Spirit in you to help you in this matter. Oh, but what a blessing it is that we could take this Word of God and read it on a regular basis and have a better understanding of all that we need to do. Sing praises unto God. Praise His holy name. What would cause us not to praise God? You know, when I talked about examining ourselves, and if we examine ourselves and in the light of, or at least with the question of how much do we praise God? We've talked about how we ought to, how worthy He is of our praise, but how much do we actually praise Him? Our footsteps can praise Him, whether our words ever say anything about Him or not. But it's good for us to speak the words, isn't it? It's good for us to say those things. It's good for us to live it, but it's also good for us to speak it. But what is it that would cause us not to praise Him? Well, many times we've talked about Matthew 13, where the parable of the sower. And there was some seed that the sower sowed that fell among thorns. And Jesus told us what those thorns represented, didn't He? The cares and the pleasures and riches of this world. Those things, when that seed fell among the thorns, those things choked the word. Notice it didn't choke the person, it choked the word. In other words, it kept the word from having the impact that it should. The word didn't get to where it needed to be. The word didn't have the effect that it needed to have in order for that person to benefit from it. Could that ever be our condition? Oh, it can be. We go through seasons in our life. Thankfully, God is a God of long suffering. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of compassion. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Bless your hearts. If we feel like that we're not praising Him like we should, then maybe we need to examine our heart. Maybe we need to see if there's too much of the world that's gotten in there, and the cares and the pleasures of those things that's choking the word and keeping it from getting into the heart where it needs to be, keeping it from bringing forth the fruit that needs to be born, keeping it from keeping us from rendering the praise and the glory to His matchless name that we should be giving. See, we don't like to talk about this, but it's something that we need to examine ourselves about. It's something that we need to hear. It's something that we need to think about on a regular basis. Because, bless your hearts, He's worthy of praise. And why shouldn't He get it from those who He's blessed so much? Bless your hearts, we're the ones that are the happy recipients of His grace. We're the happy recipients of the blessings that He's given us. We're the happy recipients of the hope of heaven. And we're the ones that ought to be giving praise and honor and glory to His matchless name. Because there is no other God besides Him. And so as we think about all that He's done, so what we conclude then is that those who are not praising Him as they should, although they've been blessed by Him, then maybe it's because He's not in all their thoughts. And so we need to remember. We need to read. We need to pray. We need to thank God on a regular basis. Count those blessings. Name them one by one, as the poet said, and give Him praise and glory for all that He's done. Aren't you glad that even though God is infinite in His power and in His knowledge, I mean, listen, there's nothing you've ever done that He doesn't know about. You know, it's good for us to confess our sins. Okay, right? If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's our God. That's how glorious He is. Our forgiveness is in the blood of Jesus. We stand before Him. We recently preached about our position before in Christ and before God. And bless your hearts, our forgiveness is in the blood of Jesus Christ. But as far as our conscience, as far as our life, as far as our witness here, when we sin, we need to confess those things to God. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. He purges our conscience so that it's no longer that which separates us from God. No longer is it something that cools our devotion. But bless your hearts, when we confess those things to Him and we ask for forgiveness in that blessed and holy name of Jesus, and we can get up and go again and serve Him like we should. And there's not a one of us that doesn't need to do that on a daily basis. That's what we need to wash us. Get that spiritual bath every day and follow Him. So aren't you glad that although He's infinitely powerful and knows all things, aren't you glad that He's loving and merciful and kind? Oh, as we think about it, you know, Ephesians 2 and 4, but God, even though He described what we are by nature, He said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. No, God didn't look down through time and see who would accept Him and who would confess Him before men. Bless your heart. He didn't look down through time and look for those any merit in the sinner to decide who He was going to choose. Deuteronomy 7:7 speaks of Israel. He says, He did not choose you because you were the greatest in number, for you were the fewest of all people. But He chose you because He loved you. And that goes for spiritual Israel today. God chose His people, and to us it's an innumerable host. But to Him, we're known individually, aren't we? My best proof text for that is 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. If you have the desire, the sincere desire in your heart, if you've been taught you need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, bless your heart. If you have that desire in your heart, if you know that you're a sinner, and if you have that desire in your heart, it's because you're already saved. He's already given you His Holy Spirit. Jesus has already died upon the cross to save you from you. So the only reason you'd have that desire is because He's given you His Holy Spirit. We've been made accepted in the Beloved. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us. And so it is that if He's called us, if He's given us His Holy Spirit, and bless your hearts, it's our duty, it's our privilege to praise His holy name. So what did David say? Sing unto God. Sing praises to His name. Extol Him that rideth upon the heavens by His name, Jah, and rejoice before Him. Bless your hearts, that's our job as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's our privilege that He had mercy upon our souls and blessed us to know Him, to know what He's done for us, and has given us a good hope through grace. Bless your hearts. Why wouldn't we give Him praise and glory for all that He's done for us? Brethren, think on these things, and may the Lord bless you is our prayer.